Welcome back, everyone. This is the Prepared Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Austin, and we are officially into the very last episode of 2024 as we push forward into 2025. Wow, what a year. We're going to get into a lot of stuff. There's so many things that happen, and I guess we could start with today at the time of this recording anyways. Unfortunately, former President Jimmy Carter, I believe he was the 39th president of our country, has passed away at the age of 100. And I know a lot of people probably hear that news and go, good riddance, because they hate the government and they hate the, you know, anybody who's ever elected president and things like that. And I guess that's your right to do so. But as far as presidents and former presidents go, I'd say Carter's actually a pretty good person, a pretty good human being. Not one of the more effective presidents, I don't think. If you're a student of history, you know, there was a lot of fumbles in his presidency with a lot of different foreign affairs in the Middle East and whatnot. But after his presidency, he definitely did a lot of good, you know, Habitat for Humanity and things like that. So I think, in my estimation anyways, he'll be sorely missed. I think that the world lost a good human being in Jimmy Carter. If not a very good president, then definitely a good human being. And, mentioning fumbles, right? It's getting into the end of the NFL season. You guys know I'm a huge Lions fan here in Detroit, actually rooting for the Green Bay Packers today, which feels very, very foreign and really just the most disgusting thing I think I've ever had to do. But we are wrapping up the year. We try to do this episode really every year, you know. I mean, we've done a couple in the past where it's like a state of the podcast type thing. We try to give you guys updates and things on what's going on, but I think that taking the time to speak to you guys, our audience, kind of look back on 12 months. And then, you know, to some degree, right, we can even look back further than that because everything kind of builds on itself, right, year over year over year. So there was a lot that happened this year. Josh and I are going to sit down and talk about it. We're going to kind of break it down. We gained a team member. You know, we added John into things this year, which has been great. He's an outstanding human being. Really started ramping up the YouTube production this year. We're getting ready to hit 1,000 subscribers on YouTube, which is not a big deal, but it's a huge deal for us and a step forward in the sense that we want to continue to grow and bring content and information out to all of you guys. If you guys are listening to this and you're not checking out the YouTube channel, please go ahead and do so. And, you know, hit that subscribe button. Helps us out tremendously. And, you know, in that regard, we want to say thank you to you guys as listeners, as an audience. This podcast, and I say this, I like to say I say it often, probably not often enough. This podcast started as a option, as an alternative, I like to think, to some of the more mainstream outlets that were already out there doing what they do, right? And to be a educational experience, you know. I never served. I was never in law enforcement. Obviously, we have guys on here now that have served and even worked in the military capacity. We've had so many amazing guests, right? This was supposed to be, and still is supposed to be, designed to bring education forward to our audience, and we hope that we're able to do that for you guys. Your patronage, your support, your subscribership, whatever term and label you guys want to apply to yourself as a listener, right? That's huge for us. We try to make sure that we fulfill that need and we bring forward people that you want to hear from on subjects that are honestly that are relevant to you. So it's a continuous effort. We have a lot of ideas and a lot of plans pushing into the beginning of 2025 for things we want to do, stuff we want to talk about, content that we think would be interesting and useful, right, to bring to you, our audience, so that you guys are able to improve yourselves and learn from, hopefully, right, learn from some of either the mistakes or successes that we've had individually, because this is all a process for us too. I think one of the things that sets us apart from a lot of folks, you know, is that we're just some regular dudes for the most part. We haven't, you know, deployed to any far off countries doing anything super crazy or, you know, stuff like that. And that's not to throw shade at guys who have, obviously. I'm in awe of people who do those things and the greatness that many of them have been able to achieve in their personal lives and their careers, and certainly after their service is done and passed. And you know, thankful for those individuals and their sacrifices, because you know, you listen to those stories and you hear an awful lot about how bad things can be. But for what we're trying to do here and our mission, our goal is always to bring more information forward. It's always to hopefully have you guys leave a discussion either thinking more or questioning more or having learned more than when you came into it. So as we reflect on the 2024 calendar year, my sincere hope as the founder and creator here, as the host, is that you guys still have those experiences, and that's still what's bringing you back, and hopefully recommending or having you recommend us to your friends and your family, folks that are perhaps in this ecosystem with us that are seeking to learn more. And I implore you guys, go listen to some of the past discussions we've had. You can see we've really grown and we've really tried to, you know, focus our efforts and our attention on things that are important, I mean, to us, but also to you guys as our listening audience. And things have just gotten better. You know, it's crazy. May will be 5 years. So we're less than 6 months away from being a 5-year-old podcast. I never thought that I would see that day. Honestly, I thought that 5 years would be when I would be hanging it up because it would just have run its course, and it doesn't appear that that's the way things are going, which is humbling to think about, obviously, and you know, crazy. It's a lot, but it's great. I love it. It's a complete and total passion project, and we hope that what we're doing is working for you guys and continuing to work for you. So thank you. Like, very seriously, I want to say thank you to anybody listening to this right now, and especially I want to say thank you to all of our sponsors, you know, our partners in the industry that make what we do here possible, that support the mission here to bring educational content and information to our audience. They want to make sure that we have the tools and the means by which to bring that message forward so that we can help you guys grow and be more capable individuals, citizens, whatever have you. So we're going to start by just saying thank you to them. And first, of course, is Custom Night Vision, you guys. So big thank you to Custom Night Vision. Their website is customnightvision.com. And at the time of this, I believe there are still some pretty good sales going on if you head over to the website to check out whether you're looking for a laser like the D-Ball A3 or the D-Ball D2 from Steiner. Both are great options, and both are on sale at customnightvision.com. Additionally, if you're looking for weapon lights, if you're looking for optics, if you're looking for helmets, all of that is in stock and has sale pricing as well, I believe, at least until the new year rolls around. Now, if you are actually looking for night vision, Custom is your one-stop shop for all things that you need. So if it's your first device, like a PVS-14, you can actually head on over to customnightvision.com. You get to the webpage. It loads up the homepage. There are two distinct and very noticeable buttons on that homepage to build a monocular and to build a binocular device. And you can click through either one, whichever fits your needs, right? So if it's a budgetary restriction, maybe you're building a monocular. If it's not a restriction, hey, build a binocular device. And you can pick the kind of mil-spec optics you might want, or if you are very specifically looking for something lightweight or with a, you know, a wider field of view, you can get RPO lightweight optics. You can get the boom slang optics from Photonis. And then you can select the housing that you want. So if you want something very rugged and durable like the RNVGs from AB Night Vision, they have those in stock in different colors. If you're looking for something on the cutting edge, maybe it's the MH1 from Lloyd Innovations or the Manticore from Nocturne, right? Or maybe one of just these old standbys like the RNVG Alphas, right? The articulating RNVGs or DTNVSs. They have all of those units in stock with tube selections from companies like Photonis, Elbit, L3 in both green phosphor and white phosphor, a wide range, a wide selection with very, very competitive pricing in the market, folks. Again, it's customnightvision.com. Let them know that Prepared Mindset sent you guys over. They're going to take fantastic care of you. Also want to say thank you to our friends over at 100 Concepts. Their website is 100concepts.com, and they are a fantastic company, you guys. They are citizens. They are average guys just like you and me, and their company motto is do good, be dangerous, live free. So they live their lives and run their company by the same principles and the same values that many of us do. And that's just one of the reasons why you guys should go check out the website and support what they're doing, in addition to the fact that they just make some really, really great products. Their light caps are what put them out there on the map. got them noticed, got them recognized, and they took that concept and they ran with it. They were able to ruggedize those caps to make them stronger, more durable, quieter. They were able to morph that into a scope cap concept for your, you know, magnified glass, or if you're running an LPVO, their ProCap series that takes an anti-reflective device and a scope cap and merges that into one awesome idea. Again, the website is 100concepts.com. Head over, check it out for yourself, and pick yourself up some new gear today. Next, we want to very certainly say thank you to our friends over at MF Precision Supply. MFPrecisionSupply.com is their website, and the discount code that they set up to save you guys some money is PREPARED10. So if you need to pick up ammo, if you're looking to pick up magazines, if you're looking to get some new optics, maybe you got some cash from your, I don't know, maybe your parents or your grandma or family or whatever the case may be, right? That's burning a hole in your pocket. You're looking at that rifle in the corner going, man, that Hollow Sun really just isn't, it's not doing it for me anymore. I need to get into something like an EXPS3 or maybe, you know, a scope from companies like SIG, Trijicon, EOTech as well, right? Guess what? MFPrecisionSupply.com. You can use discount code one more time, PREPARED10, to save on your orders. You guys, this company, man, they are there to bring solutions to you all so that, you know, if you want to be a more effective, a more capable citizen out there, they can help you do that. And our discount code can help you guys save some money while you're at it. You know, Daniel and Connor are really, really good dudes. They're friends of ours. We know that they're guys that are out there training. They're taking classes. They're trying to better themselves while also bringing more better solutions, right, to you and yours. Head on over to mfprecisionsupply.com and check it out for yourself. And last but certainly not least here is American Defense Manufacturing. It's admfg.com. That's their website. And American Defense is an outstanding company. I think a lot of you guys are probably very familiar with them for good reason. They have a reputation within the industry for making outstanding parts, components, mounts for optics. And then they also do make complete rifles. So they were nice enough to send out a 13.9 upper, their Mark II upper in 223 Wild. So yes, it runs 5.56 and 223. And what a great shooting upper. I threw it on a mil-spec lower, nothing fancy, and I was grouping one MOA at 50 yards while I was zeroing it. I'm getting ready to reach that out over the next couple weeks here to 100 and 200. And guys, that was with 55 grain ammo. It's because they use great components when they build their uppers. So Criterion barrels, you know, Raptor charging handle, and that's stocked from the factory, right? And you can select whatever muzzle device you like, whether it's the War Comp from Surefire, the Huxworks, the Dead Air flash hider, if you guys are running the Sandman line of cans and things. Again, the website is admfg.com. Head on over, check out their entire catalog, of scope mounts. Maybe if you have one of the LS series of Hollow Sun lasers, they have a great upgraded mount that you can use to maybe just avoid some of those problems that the LS series has with mounting and reliability. You guys, one more time, admfg.com. Check out American Defense Manufacturing for all of your needs. So yes, guys, it's awesome that we are a sponsored podcast. We have great partners in the industry that make everything that we do possible, really. We're very, very fortunate in that way. And some of these companies came on for the first time in 2024. Some of them have been legacy partners with us for, you know, over a year or even two in some instances. And it's awesome. I go out of my way to make sure that the people that we recommend to you are good companies. You know, I mean, they're doing the right things in the market to take care of you and I and bring great products to the market that are going to be reliable and effective to help you be more capable. I know that it can be really hard to navigate. It can be hard to navigate this industry, this community, this ecosystem sometimes, because there's a ton of companies out there. There's a ton of companies out there that are selling products, that are trying to win your business, that are trying to help you. It can be very confusing. We are very proud of all of our partnerships here at Prepared Mindset, and we stand by them. Could not be more thrilled that we get to work with some of these guys, A, for their reputations, but B, because they just make some stellar products. And it's really exciting as we look into the next year, what that could mean for us and the kind of content, the caliber of information, and the way and means in which we're able to deliver that to you guys. So just as we're ending the year, have to say it, just very thankful both for you guys, our audience, and of course our supporting sponsors, that together, that, you know, there is no Prepared Mindset without you guys and without them. So for all of you, thank you, thank you, thank you. But this week's discussion, like I said, Josh and I are sitting down. We're going to do a end of year wrap up. We're going to talk about the entire year. We're going to get into some of the highs, the lows. We're going to really dig into some stuff. I think it's going to be a nice little summary, right, of what we've all been through this year. Maybe we'll talk about some, I don't want to say current events, but some events over the course of the year. There's certainly been some exciting things going on, right? And that all shapes everything that has happened and is going to happen. But without any further delays from me, let's just get into it with Josh. What's up, man? How's it going?
Happy to be back. It's crazy,
yeah, man,
how we are almost into the new year.
Yeah, like three days, yeah. Well, yeah, technically 2.5, I think. But yeah, 2024 came and went in, like, when we were in January, February, obviously it always feels like, oh man, it's a whole year. It's going to be hella long. But man, looking back on it, it went quickly, you know, that first, I feel like the whole first quarter of the year is always kind of a crapshoot for us here in Michigan with weather and whatnot. I know we got out, New Year's Eve. I know we went to the range last year.
Did we?
It was
right at the end of the year.
Yep.
Is it when we zeroed?
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
We went out for that.
That's right. That was an early January release, but the actual range day was New Year's Eve. That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I remember I had to like run home and change and then run out the door to go to a party that night.
I was trying to remember what I even did for New Year's Eve last year. So that answers the first half. We stayed home that night because we had a 3-week old baby. So it was like, didn't really want to go out and stay up late. So
our weren't down for the rager yet.
No.
And then I'm trying to think, like, actual January, February is always tough. I feel like the end of January and the beginning of February here in Michigan is like the absolute weather-wise, the absolute pinnacle of misery. Because that's when our
drags on and on and on.
Well, and it's single digits usually. If we get into single digit weather or sub-zero weather, I feel like it's either one of the last 2 weeks of January or one of the first 3 weeks of February is when we experience it. And it's tough to get out to the range and get actual like benefit from training. I mean, there's some stuff you can do, obviously, but like it's difficult, you know, for a lot of reasons. It's one of the things I know that this year we're looking to aggressively combat through alternative methods. So like, you know, indoor training, mostly things that we, and I don't want to make this about like new year, new you, but like, damn it, this year we're going to do the shit we say that we're going to do with, like, I know we've talked about medical and comm stuff for, I mean, years,
I think since the beginning.
Yeah, since the beginning, and we're actually
have made moves in the comms. We have made some moves, and we've gotten some good reps in certain things, which we'll talk about. But as far as more advanced stuff, like, we need more hand licenses and stuff.
Yeah, our larger training group and things. I think this should be the year as we push into that, and especially the medical side. I know you have base medical training, which we didn't even this year. I feel like we came into this year going, yeah, we're going to look into that. We're going to do it. And then we didn't for various reasons. I know getting into March, I think, is when we finally were able to start ramping some things up a little bit. That was, I think it was pretty, if it wasn't snow on the ground, it was just, I think there was actually, it was just wintry weather. We were at our buddies, right? Steve's doing a night shoot. That was the first time I've ever had an energy drink freeze. I remember that very vividly because I went
March,
to go drink.
Also, wait, yeah, sorry.
I was going to say I went to go drink my
energy drink,
my ghost or whatever, and it was a slushy. I was like, dude, and
it's kind of lit actually. I bet that slapped.
It was
really good.
It wasn't bad. It just wasn't exactly what I was expecting, and it was rough because I would go to put my tubes down, and the lenses fogged up because of the temperature difference and stuff. That was an interesting, I mean, so when you talk about gaining experience and knowledge and training and stuff, that was the first time I think we really had cold weather related issues to complicate a training session. 'cause it was late. I think we were out there shooting. It was like 8:30, 9:30, something like that. We were all suppressed and stuff, running white light and lasers and everything. It was freaking cold. I do remember that. It was kind of miserable, man.
Yeah, you just brought up suppressors. 2024 was a big year in the group for guys getting into the suppressor game, because I got into it January to March time frame. Steve and I think got into it about the same time. John got his later in the year. A couple other guys got their cans, I think, because we started, you were the only one that had a can.
Yeah,
Now
I was special. Now I'm
it's
no longer special.
outnumbered. Almost everybody's got them now. It's cool to see. And it's been interesting to see how that affects just overall range experiences. It's nice being able to communicate easier
Because
than just
everybody,
having
yeah,
you always notice it. We get spoiled, and then there's that one guy that shows up and with a
Ugh.
SBR that doesn't have a can. You're like, whoa, it's been a second. And then for years we've been shooting without him, but just this year we got a little, we've gotten used to
Spoiled.
it. And it's I love suppressor. I've been talking about getting another one just because I love cans so much. Almost
I
want to run
think
it on every single one of my
I
guns.
might have to. I might invest. I might join you guys. I might invest in a 22 just for
Dude,
funsies.
it just brings everything full circle. I think you guys talk about having their bases covered with a, good pistol, a rifle for intermediate distances, and then a nice precision gun like the suppressor game. You get the 22 can, and I'm going to almost argue guys should get a 22 can first because they're so versatile. And it's actually that movie quiet you're looking for. Not John Wick movie quiet, but they're
But
quiet.
close.
And on a pistol, it's super handy. You can get it on a rifle, it's even quieter. It's super fun.
I'm sure
I was looking at
I know
March.
we'll talk about the 22s later on too when we get to HTA, because that was good. It was
Yeah.
good times.
I was looking at March just here. We did that couples range day with
Oh
our
shit,
wives.
yeah. That was
I made a fun video.
my wife's birthday weekend. We turned that into like a couples range day too. That was a good time.
That range day got me dabbling in smaller frame pistols, because after that it was when I was looking at getting a 43X. I ended up getting a Micro Dagger, which is a clone of the 43X. That consumed a good chunk of my year, was just dabbling in that. I think there's some utility with them. Don't really carry them too much anymore, because I think it's still, when you're able to carry a bigger gun, you always should. But I shot your 43X, actually did some build drills and stuff with it. I'm like, this is kind of neat. And it, you know, it.
It's
I was a
serviceable.
little biased before because I just listened to what other people said without putting my own testing or opinion
Yeah,
into
just
it.
trying
I
it, yeah.
tried it out. Yeah. And the
They're
PSA
not
stuff was super
bad.
cheap to
I
get
mean,
into. And
you look at how many guys carry the SIG 365 line in various iterations and
Yep.
stuff. I kind of
Those
looped
tiny little
together.
things.
It's yeah, I don't so I don't I mean I don't care for the 365. I have really big hands, which I mean you know that. I have really big
Yeah.
hands and I can't ever seem to get, at least on a base 365, I cannot get a good grip, a good purchase on it. The XL, the macro, which I've never had an opportunity to shoot. I've had the opportunity to hold a couple at some shops and things. It fits a little bit better. But I don't love SIG to begin with for a whole slew of reasons that we don't have to get
Boom.
into here. But yeah, that was so March was, that was an interesting month for some things. I totally forgot about that couples range. That was one of my first couple attempts to get my wife out
What did
shooting
we title
more.
that video?
I
They
don't
could find
remember.
it. It was a fun little montage, and then we had a few parts talking about, just coaching them a little bit. It was a fun little video we made.
Yeah, because
My
I think like a month later I got my wife back out there one on one, and she was able to start like shoot some carbine and stuff, and like get a little bit for, more a little bit more experience, right, behind running some drills and trying to actually introduce a little bit of stress into the performance side of it. I think it was really called training with your spouse or something. I think I use the
Yeah,
word
I'd have to
spouse
go
in the
back and
title.
find it.
Yeah, I'd have to go comb through the YouTube. That was definitely an earlier video, which has also been cool this year. I think the YouTube channel has taken some major steps, specifically I'll say the latter part of the year, but throughout all of 2024, that's been something that like has been a focus, or a shift to focus, I guess, more to the point. And going into 2025, something that we already have a lot of plans in place for. Well, some in place, some not in place, but there's a lot of
Yeah,
plans.
we started the channel just, was it December, I think, of 23 was our Mark 18 video.
Yeah, I think so.
I think we filmed it end of November because I had some of the goodies that I did got from a Black Friday sale. So I think it was around end of the year 2023 is when we kind of dropped in our first few videos. That wasn't just podcast episodes. And it's been fun getting it and watching it grow a little bit. So
Yeah,
it
I've had a couple of those reels, or sorry, shorts. Got to keep the vernacular correct between platforms. Some of those have really done well. And it's cool just to see the reception. Not that I want to sit here and
Yeah,
stroke,
you get it.
but
Well, it's just fun. It's fun to, when we work hard and you see some reward for it. You get a little bit of a dope, like an adrenaline rush when you see those views first start to hit. You're like, whoa, it's already got 1,000 in the first hour.
it's mostly
It's cool to
just
see. And then,
seeing the algorithm, like, oh my God, did we find a cheat code? We didn't. But there was a couple
No.
times we thought we did.
Yeah.
So then we got, let's see. So that was like March, April, spring. We tried to, I think for the most part, we were working on getting out to the range at least once a month, if not a little bit more often, right? Trying to make sure that we hit blue water, work on. When you and I get together, it was mostly standards, I think. So there was a lot of that work that went into,
Manipulation.
yeah, manipulations, transitions, overall proficiency, which, and we'll talk about this a little bit more when we get to the end of the year stuff. But being able to sit down with, not really sit down, but get some of the guys out on the range and go through some of those skill sets, helping guys figure out like, hey, that is a real opportunity for improvement. Like, yes, you can shoot accurately, but when you are asked to do it while pairing it with a platform transition, a reload, movement, or just physical stress from running, exerting yourself, it's a completely different proposition. So that was something that you and I had been doing for a while. Like you said, we filmed that first Mark 18 video, December of 23. And when we get together after that, we were usually introducing movement. So that was March and April, and then May. So May is when things really started ramping up for us this year, I think. I don't think I left anything out. Is there anything in the first 4 months of the year that we didn't?
That's pretty much it. I mean, I'm looking through my photo album where I put all my training stuff, and it was a lot of NFA stuff, suppressors. My shotgun engraving fiasco was beginning of January.
Oh, dude, yeah, that was. You should tell that
It's
story because that's a good one. I know it's not good for
I
you, but
just went to it. I mean, it's just stressful, and I literally thought about it like halfway through this year, and I had trauma blocked the whole experience, and I forgot about it, and was had to relive it all when I remembered it all. Just had a bad experience at a local shop, took my stuff in. He did my SBR and my shotgun probably 9 months apart. And each time I went in to have those engraved, he spelled my name wrong.
Jesus.
Which
Well,
I
yeah,
know
but you
plenty of people that
know.
would throw a fit when that happens. And I gave the guy some grace, but then it was just bad experience after bad experience. He tried like buffing the engraving and then just ruined the finish on the side of the receiver. So then he had to re-Cerakote it and then try again. And then he wasn't getting back to me. He said he'd bring it to my house. I ended up going back to him. I was like, I don't want this guy to go anywhere near my house. And then finally got it back. I was ranting to Austin probably for a month straight through that whole
Yeah, it
process.
was
And then
several weeks.
other work, I wanted to get my bolt gun cut and threaded so I could put a suppressor on it. That was a whole fiasco. Never touched my stuff for like 3 months. And then I ended up just going and taking it, getting it from him and taking it to a better shop.
Which was
So
Magnaport, I
yeah,
think was.
Magnaport International, I think. They're pretty, once shotguns and pistols started getting ported decades ago, they were kind of, they say at least, they were the ones that kind of pioneered the technology and machining behind what porting shotgun barrels, like you see Van Kamp is like the big popular one now. Forcing cone work and porting your shotguns. They say they kind of started that, and they're on the highway even closer than the other shop I was trying to go to. It's just my struggle, my irritation was in our area, you really have to know people word of mouth because nobody really has their internet presence narrowed down really at all. Like if you Google NFA engraving, almost nothing comes up. And the shop I went to was because it came up. That was one of the only shops that came up.
What was your turnaround? So I know what with the original shop, it was
For
like,
Magnaport?
no, before you went to Magnaport, that original shop, he had your shotgun and bolt. I don't even know if he had your
Like 3 months.
bolt gun.
Yeah,
And I
so I
remember,
dropped off the receiver and the bolt gun, and he said he'd have it in like a week. He said it was an easy job. Yeah, I got that. I'll get that done for you. You know,
Well, and then he didn't
the
want to
longer.
do the he didn't want to do your barrel chop at first, right?
Yeah, he
On
was
the bullhorn.
apprehensive because he was saying that the ballistics would be horrible. And I said, I don't care. It's what I want. Why don't you just do what I want? Because I'll pay
I mean,
you.
it's f I would I mean I
Yeah,
yeah, like
it's
thank you for
valid,
letting
but a
me know,
16
but
inch 308 is very normal now. Like almost every AR-10 starts at 16 inches now as a standard, and I'm not shooting past 600 yards, so what the hell?
yeah, it wasn't like you
You
were
know what I
asking for
mean? And
like
it's still shoot
like
shoot I'll shoot gold medal match like a half inch with that thing at 100, you
Well,
know,
and it
grouping
wasn't
it at
like you were
100 yards.
asking for an 11 and a half inch 308 gun
No,
where like
I still wanted it to be legal, like a 16. I didn't want to do any pin and weld or anything weird, you know.
yeah, like it's a completely normal. When you told me that, I was like, well, I mean, I get him just saying, hey, FYI, you'll see some sort of degraded performance going from whatever, like 20 or whatever down to 16. But yeah, I mean, 3 months. I remember you would call me periodically and update me, and you're like, this guy, I think at one point he like pulled his wife into it or something, was like, oh, she
Just
was in a
got
car
weird, yeah.
accident. And yeah, and that's one of those things like, and the more that we invest, because so 2024 was a big year for a community investment for us for a lot of different things, right? I feel like the more that we end up putting into this community, things end up coming to light in good ways and in bad ways. And, you know, I don't want to like drag anybody's business, so I'm not gonna throw names out there. I'm just gonna say, you guys, as a best practice, like reach out to your homies and find out where they're going for work. And if you don't like those solutions, like dig deeper. Ask one or two or three more levels of questions because some of these local shops may be great. They may be. I don't, you know, like I've not had a necessarily had a bad experience with some of mine, but Josh obviously had like less than
I had
desirable.
to learn it the hard way for other people. It was funny because during that whole process of just months and months of trial and lots of error, I started reading his Google reviews, and it was around the same
Oh,
time frame
I
because
remember.
he didn't, yeah, he did my pin and weld on my 13.9 AR, and it was great. It was like it took like a week, and I had a good experience. That's why I went back to do the other stuff. But this during this whole transition period of him like moving shops or something, his Google reviews started to just pop up with every three or four people all having the exact same experience as me,
Just got
just
worse and
like
worse.
getting it got worse and worse. So I hope it's doing better now, but I don't think I'll be going back.
I
And
wouldn't. Not at
yeah,
that.
no,
Not
we got
at that. I
some,
mean, why? Why would you?
yeah,
And Magnumport turned around in what, like 5 days?
like a week. Yeah, it was
Man.
last the shotgun barrel work took like 5 days, and then the bolt gun took a week or maybe like 8 days. Great,
Yeah, which
great
is,
experience.
yeah,
They're
fantastic.
professionals over there. You walk over, they've seen it 1,000 times, all the work that you're asking for, you know, barrel stuff, threads, ports, like, yeah, we'll have it back for you. Gave me a little military discount. I was happy. I was like,
Totally
cool.
routine. Yeah, no problem.
That's how I learn. I mean, if you live in a high density area like a big city or something, you can usually Google or look on Reddit or something. Sparingly, be careful with Reddit, but there is some good that can come from it. Where, hey, what's a good spot in Cincinnati to get gunsmithing stuff done? You know, see what shops are popular. But our area, especially my area, I'm north of you, pretty barren out here
Yeah,
with
and we don't really do a whole lot of that, like in our circle of people anyways. We don't have a whole lot of that stuff where you're like getting custom barrel chops or anything like that. Like, so
I had to go be weird.
we're usually able to do a lot of the work ourselves, which is cool. Like you've been able to teach me several things about like when we're talking about suppressors and stuff, muzzle devices and some of the like pros and cons. They're not like pros and cons, but I guess just like tips and tricks rather. Like, hey, torque your muzzle device twice, or don't torque towards the high end of the recommended spectrum, I
Torque
guess.
spec. Yeah. Yeah, surefire. Some people say they have accuracy issues if you torque to the top spec on a Surefire, which is kind of weird. So what I forget what it is. If it's like 23 to 28,
Think it's
do it
20
at
to
like
30.
23 or 24. Yeah, it's like
Yeah.
low end torque with Surefire. That was something Josh Lowry put out on a video. I think it was before they were Dirty Civilian, but he had a lot of armorers, little tech tips on his Instagram. I remember seeing that a few years ago. Little stuff like
Yeah, and the
that.
more that
There's
we do
torque
stuff like
spec
that,
for almost everything.
the more we do stuff like that too, it's cool that like we can help dudes in the community, and I mean hopefully educate them too. I try not to like just do stuff for somebody. Like here, I'll and I say this as I ask you to like do my triggers and stuff because I don't
Yeah,
know
but
how
you
it
saw how I did it. You watched me do it, though.
No, I didn't. Because remember, that was
Do
the day
not.
you came over and knocked it out. I was on a call for
Oh,
work. You're like, I'll swing by in
that's
like
right.
15 minutes.
No, it
No,
was the
like,
same day because
what?
I did John's like an hour before I did yours, and he watched me. That's what
Oh yeah. And I was like, no, I like to watch. And you're like, I'm on my way
it
home. I'm just gonna stop by, knock it out, and I'll show you later. But
was.
like that
I
way you
think this is the
can.
reason why we all get irritated when we see some new guy pull up with an AK, and we're like, why are you weird? But the AR platform specifically is it's so good. And when we're all on that same, we're all speaking the same language, that opens up for parts. We have a buddy now that saved somebody's butt during a range day because he builds uppers and he had a firing pin and a whole extra bolt carrier on him at the range. So this dude had a firing pin issue. Here's a firing pin. It's great knowing, like I like doing some armor stuff, but I know that that individual is way more knowledgeable than I am. So if I have a problem, I can go talk to him or
Yeah,
have
just
him
on
work on something for me.
experience and
Yeah,
volume
and
of
just
work
because it's a
alone.
community now, so I would probably want to pay him something, but there's a good chance if it was something easy, he would just fix it for me, you know?
Yeah.
The
Well, we
AR
even have
platform specifically gets me excited that way.
A guy now too that we went through. We'll get to the Orion class in a second here. We went through a class with him and well, I mean Evan, right? And he welds, he can fix stuff. So if there are weird issues with chunks of metal that break off and stuff, like you're definitely going to pay him for his time, but it depends like what you need and everything, what you got going on. It's definitely gonna be cheaper usually to fix than it is to replace. So and it's just it's the community investment piece, and that really kind of started I guess one of the bigger efforts of 2024, which is when we get into May here, we had the Orion training group class. So what originally was supposed to be a 2023 effort, and we had plans to have the guys in September of 23, and that ended up falling apart for some different reasons. Long story short, we basically were able to meet Jared and Mitchell, and Joe was one of the instructors at HTA in 2023. Connected with them. Hey, we want to come to Michigan. We want to do a class. We're going to be up there for the Michigan Tactical Officers Association conference in May. So we were able to work it out where I believe it was the first weekend in May. They were able to come out and do a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 3 8-hour days at Battlefield CQB. And going into it, had absolutely no idea what this place was. I just found it online. I was like, huh.
Please, God, let this work out.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, yeah, because there's so few facilities, whether you're looking at paintball or airsoft or laser tag or an actual shoot house, there are so few facilities in Metro Detroit that will allow for things like that. There was a, and I've talked about this before, there's a range out towards you, but on my side of town still, that actually has an actual, like a real ballistic shoot house. And they, even though they on their website have a big banner in yellow bold print that says shoot house for rent, would not rent the shoot house out. They would not bring in outside instructors. So what it should say is, shoot house class is available, but I digress. We found the guys at Battlefield, reached out to them after connecting with Jared and say, hey, we really want to bring this class and information to Michigan. I can't even tell you how many people I had say, oh, you should just drive down to Ohio and go take a class at Alliance, or you should go to Pennsylvania, where we go for HTA every year, right? And take a class there. And I'm like, I know these are things that we could do. A, they're gonna be more expensive, but B, it's not gonna help immediately. It's not gonna help invest and build the community that's immediately around us, which is a big thing for me, and I want to continue to do that, like bring instruction and information and opportunities here to the area. So we're able to coordinate with Battlefield CQB and got the 3 day class going. The coolest part was that it filled, and then I think two or three people had to drop, and they were immediately able to fill those slots. And still, I know after talking to Tim at Battlefield, they had a couple different local agencies reach out and they want, hey, do you guys have two spots open? We'd like to send a pair of officers. There's no availability. And for anybody listening in the area, if you have those questions, reach out to Jared at Orion Training Group because it's their class. The facility is just the host. So they wouldn't be able to give you spots anyways. But that was really a bunch of work. We talked about it a lot. A couple of the gentlemen we just mentioned, so Joe and Evan, right? We met them. Evan got into the class. Joe was not able to. Hopefully he is this year because they're coming back, right? I thought huge community building opportunity, brought in a lot of people together from different backgrounds. We met some really cool folks there. couple dudes that you knew from the guard, you know, one who broke the internet. Our buddy Rico was there. That internet post, like, you want to talk about like the one like shadowy spot that ruined that entire weekend of fun. Like, the faith in humanity was just completely lost when I remember we were driving back to John's house after the second day or whatever, and we're like, dude, look at these comments. This is obscene. Like, literally obscene. I mean, how would you describe that? I mean, I was pretty like surprised.
Thought that shit was hilarious. Are you even gonna say what the post was? Or you just make the listeners go and
So
search
we
Jared's.
one of the and I think the post itself got taken down just because it got
Did
archived
it?
on Instagram. Maybe not. It was a shoot no shoot targets here. I think it was Medusa targets, but that might be wrong. Actually, I think it is because I think Rico was the one who brought the target. Anyway, it was a target of a Klansman, like KKK Klansman, you know, and basically it was kind of like one of those like let's recreate. It was a combination of the scene where Carl Weathers and Arnold Schwarzenegger like do the arm lock at the beginning of the movie Predator, and then also like those hunting photos where everybody holds up the deer's head after they kill it. So they're holding up that Klan poster or Klan target, right, and doing the arm lock thing, and it was Max Fox and somebody, was it Jared?
Yeah, it
Somebody
was
else.
Jared and Max Fox.
So a white dude and a black dude. And which was funny. We were laughing, right? We had a good time with it. And you look at some of the comment section and like, oh, it is still up. Yeah. Holy shit. It was no, sorry. Okay, then sorry, you just found it. The
There's a
arm lock photo.
thousand comments on that post. Oh my
Yeah,
God.
dude, it blew up. And sorry, the arm lock photo came the next day because of the comment section, but it was like the hunting trophy.
That was the next day was the arm
Yeah.
lock. No, it's like a hunting trophy or like old terrorist photos where like they'll pose with there was some government outrage at that one, but that's what they were kind of
I
going
would
for.
encourage you guys to go look at that because the comment section is wild with some of the racist crap that was going on in there. Like,
Yeah.
absolute, like,
Very,
just.
very telling if that outrages some people. The targets were made by a Guerrilla Tactical, who's a company out of Washington. They're super
There
awesome.
you
They do
go.
holsters and stuff.
Yeah.
And then I remember that target coming out, and on Guerrilla Tactical's page, people were like, the comments were spicy in that one too. So
Oh, really?
it was just awesome that Rico brought that out. I was like, oh, that's gonna be good, just for training. And then they made that post, and everybody was, oh my God, that's awesome.
Yeah,
Nobody was
most
ready for
people
that.
were. Unfortunately, in our ecosystem at large, this is one of the times when I will opt against using the word community, for the two-way community rather. People show their true colors. They're total a-holes to each other. They treat people like shit. We wonder why we have problems with gun rights and elections and things like that. It's because we eat our own. But
The internet brings out everybody.
yeah. Definitely, I think the maybe if there was a low point to that weekend, that was probably it. But overall, like we learned, I would say that was probably, if you're talking about volume of knowledge gained, I don't even know how you would fucking measure that. But I would say that was probably the largest growing experience I think that we had.
In our
You,
community alone, the amount of
oh, yeah.
guys we met that ended up doing media work and pictures and continued training out of Battlefield that we'll get to. Like,
Yeah.
there's still relationships that started there and that have grown and brought in more relationship from there. I would say almost doubled at least,
Yeah, I mean,
in size.
yeah, I mean, we connected with folks like Dana and Roland out, you know, on the other side of town and stuff, and you know, obviously Rico and Mason and I mean, the list goes on. People we were able to make good connections with out of that class. And yeah, to your point, you mentioned Battlefield, and the cool part about that is what a lot of people experience with classes is you go, you take a class, you go, wow, this is a really cool facility or a really cool shoot house, and then you leave and you're done. What we were able to do, however, going into Battlefield CQB, as it is a laser tag facility, not your typical training venue, is, you know, hey, they got a Discord. Then we find out, hey, every Thursday night they do their combatives night, or that's what they're calling it. I don't know if they still call it that, but ended up having Dana go out, one of the girls that are the girl, because there's only one in class, and give it a shot, and then comment in our like group chat from the Orion class, like, hey, I went out and tried this. Like, they actually have a good group of people here that want to learn and do this stuff, and it's obviously a good venue because we just had class there. If anybody who was in class wants to attend, like, you guys should definitely come check it out. So I think starting at the end of May is when I started going pretty much every week. And we're able to share a lot of what we learned in class able to refine our own skills, build community, build, there's a couple of guys there. I think there's four or five dudes that are like regulars there that run as a group pretty often, and they're pretty fucking proficient at this point. Like,
They move well.
and I hope they're able to attend the class in May, because then the higher the level, like rising tides raise all ships type thing, the higher level of experience of people that attend, the more we can get into and do. It was huge, huge for growing community and giving the opportunity to people, who want to come out and learn and didn't realize that that was something that was there. Like, yeah, it's a laser tag facility, but that's a moot point, because a lot of people, when I would hope most people, when you're learning CQB, you're doing dry reps anyways. So what does it matter? Is it perfect? No, but it also gives you a lot of opportunities to do a lot of different things because of unique angles, unique exposures, and things like that. So, and we still do that, right? I know you'd like to be out there more. John and I are on a pretty regular schedule, but it was a really good, like really good opportunity on the community side. It's something I think going into 2025 want to do more of and grow that relationship. And that was May. So, your favorite month of the year, June of 2024, was
I don't even want to talk about it. I don't even want to talk about
your nice, soothing, relaxing
Vacation.
vacation to the sunny state of Louisiana.
Louisiana.
You know,
JRTC.
you went on your
Was a
little.
National Guard training rotation. I ran around with the radio, followed my commander. Sleepless nights, rained on, bugs crawling on me. Cry, rain on again. That was okay. Got the shits, something fierce, worse than I ever have, probably because of the humidity. And then I changed up my diet on like one of the last days.
Ooh,
Thought it
that's
was gonna
rough.
kill me. And then
I mean, it actually can, if left unchecked. That's aside from making the jokes, like, "Hey, I shit so bad I almost died." Like, that kind of thing can actually, it can actually kill you. Like, dehydration is like a real thing. That's why when high school kids like do the diarrheals and stuff, they get in so much trouble, because people, you can actually cause serious harm, in extreme cases. But
Yeah.
sorry, go on. I mean to cut you off.
No, you're good. It was good. It was a good time for growth for me. I've got lots of field time under my belt in the last 6 years or so of infantry time, but I was stationed in the Pacific Northwest, so the lack of bugs got me a little soft, I think, being over there. And then I train in the desert a lot too, so it was just dry, cold, dry
So
and hot a lot.
it's funny. It's funny that you're talking about Louisiana. And so I just actually I had a buddy over at the house today. Good friend of mine, used to work at the state level in law enforcement. Now he's a fed. And he lives in Louisiana. And I was like, I brought up your experience in the state. He goes, 100%, 100% is the way it is. That's just the way it is. I was like, but you
Tell him I
want
call
it.
it the toilet bowl of the United States.
I did not. I did
Okay.
not. But he didn't deny any of your claims. I was like, and you like, and he lives there. Like, just
And you
yeah,
choose to
live
live there. That's what I
there.
said to Jared in our group chat. I was like, why do you guys choose to live here? Granted, I didn't get to go to any cool towns, no cool cities. Didn't go to Baton Rouge,
Yeah,
didn't
you
go to
saw
New
the worst
Orleans.
parts of it.
I just saw the swamp and I stayed there for 3 weeks without a shower. And I got to go back to the little camp outside the swamp and then stay there for another week getting to
So what
shower.
is what so when you guys go on those like month-long training rotations and stuff, what is the purpose, and just like for some context behind it, what all gets done on that?
Yeah, so not really specific to the National Guard. This is more specific to the infantry, active duty or National Guard, doesn't really matter. You train all year and you certify on the lower levels of team, squad, platoon. So you'll do live fires and field training exercises at those levels and do various tasks. Like a team live fire is just to react to contact, usually. And you work on your react to contact movement, destroy the enemy and move on. It just grows from there, right? So that's kind of the bread and butter where you really get good as an infantryman, is those smaller exercises. Usually once a year, on active duty, there was 1 year where we did like three big ones. That was a busy year. That you'll do brigade level or sometimes division size level exercises. And that's those big training centers that are in other states. So California is NTC, the National Training Center. It's the Mojave Desert. They do a lot, like all of the global war. If anybody that deployed to the Middle East trained there before they went, it was sort of a mandatory thing. They had cities, like they built a city there that simulates a Middle Eastern city. And you get role players or guys that are stationed there that are the enemies and shoot blanks at each other. So like there is still like lower level, you'll get into firefights and do some fun stuff from time to time, but it is a you get the generals involved on planning and like stuff you see in the movies. Like that's those big exercises is to test your battalion commanders a little. Like they're obviously nonstop. Like our battalion was the talk, the command center was just nonstop, not sleeping, constantly moving and doing stuff. But like the brigade commander is getting reviewed by by the division commander, whatever the division's getting reviewed. This is what certifies units for deployment, is these big exercises. So from the bottom level, it can be pretty painfully boring at times, which I would assume that's the way combat is a lot of the time. You're not doing much, or we're just moving to this spot and waiting, getting an order to move to somewhere else. There was a couple cool things we did and got to like assault a trench and do a lot of defense and stuff, but it's not as exciting as those smaller, like at a drill, we'll go up north in Grayling and do a drill where we'll do a squad sticks. And then there's a squad live fire. You'll do a blank iteration, do a live fire iteration. And that's fun stuff. Those big exercises, you're just sucking for like 10 days, not sleeping much and getting, you're out in the elements. You won't even really get to be inside of a vehicle much usually. So, I was in
And is that
Strikers on active duty, so it was in and out movement. And then when I was in the vehicle crew, I was in the truck a lot. And infantry guard tends to be a lot of light infantry stuff, so we walked a lot, a few rucks and movements. The day that we assaulted the trench, we didn't sleep the night before because we did a
Oh, good.
movement at we stepped off at like 10 p.m. And then the trench assault happened when the sun was up. It's one of those in the middle of the morning, right when the sun started to come up, we did a tactical pause, and I'm tired, I'm exhausted, but it also makes me laugh when I see other people like trying to stay awake. So I'm watching everybody as they're just like their eyes are rolling to the back of their head while their eyes are still open. They're just barely hanging on. Like leadership, I'm watching them struggle. I'm like, damn.
And that's, dude, that ability to push yourself physically and stuff is something that I know we've seen some people that were around that were, I don't want to say associated with guys in the training group, right? Like see people push those limits, or discover that they need to learn how to push those limits. Like that's a real thing. And sleep deprivation is only one part of it, like the physical side. Like we had it at HTA. That's, I mean, by our own choice. And we'll get into that, but is that something you guys do? So are do you do one of the, like that once a year, or is that like every other year when you have to go away for a whole month like that?
It really depends. You on a regular non-deployment training schedule, it's usually for the National Guard especially, it's once a year. The annual training, usually in the summer, they'll say 1 weekend a month and then 2 weeks in the summer on a perfect National Guard schedule. It's usually that summer training, you'll do something like that bigger exercise. There, I've heard of other guys doing just the most they'll do is like a up to the squad, maybe platoon level in a year. It wasn't like that on active duty. My first year on active duty was crazy because we were every at least once a month we were in the field, and it was usually live fires between, like the in the field we say is more of like the sticks exercises where you're actually sleeping out in the field and maybe running around with blanks, and it's a little more real world training because you're actually running around in the woods or doing something. Whereas a live fire is very, there's a lot of range isms as they call them, where it's like safety, you can only shoot forward, you can't shoot to the right or the left, you'll run forward, you'll bound with each other. It's a little bit robotic, but it still teaches you the fundamentals of the battle drill and unit movement, maneuver, all that good stuff. So the active duty tends to get away with being a lot more high frequency than the guard, but the guard still tries to get that annual those annual requirements done. So
So then, you got back at
we're
the end of June
Yeah,
from
you guys
that.
had been doing CQB trainings while I was gone. So I came back poison ivy ridden and jumped in with a CQB training. I think the first Thursday that I was back, I jumped in with you guys.
There's a in our YouTube videos, there's a clip of you in your shorts running reps with us. It looks hilarious, but There's a reason to it. So if anybody was wondering, like, who's this dweeb in the shorts? Like, it's Josh, and it's because he had just the most monstrous case of fucking poison ivy that you'd ever seen and didn't want anything touching. I mean, once you explained
It
it,
was
I was
icky.
like, that makes sense.
It was icky. I was like, please, no one touch me. I will cry. But I still got after it.
Touch me, because I like my space.
Anybody that didn't make it to that training for whatever bullshit reason can suck it, because I was out there.
Were there guys
I
that
was a
missed it?
pain. I don't remember.
All right, fair enough.
I'm just saying.
And then, like, shortly after that, it was so 4th of July weekend was the field training exercise that you guys had planned out and put together up north somewhere. I don't even remember where. And that was
an undisclosed secret location, private property. We wanted
secret.
to avoid crackheads on public land.
Yeah, I could see why.
So I don't enjoy public land that much, just because it can be exciting, but it can also be kind of sketch.
Exciting for the wrong reasons, usually. I mean, like you
Yeah,
said.
I only really like doing night vision stuff now if I'm going to do it, but I haven't really done it
Yeah,
in a
we didn't do
year.
it. We did it a little bit at the end of 23. We didn't do any of it this year.
No, because we got hooked up with some good private spots, and it just
yeah,
was
that's
better,
true.
safer, and less stress. So,
Well, and
yeah, so John.
there was that law that got passed too. Like, you couldn't, they didn't want people shooting on public land, which we didn't know how we would, like, we, if we were out there carrying rifles and stuff, like, how that
Not a
response might
great
be.
look.
Yeah.
Yeah, not
Which,
a great look.
it's,
And it's
it,
just that area to us, that local land to us. It's not a Michigan law. It's just that area. Nobody
that
gets,
one
because
area.
all the hicks just made a mess. Some people said their houses got shot, and then it got shut down, which I did shoot at one of the popular, like, pits that people used to shoot at out there, and it was disgusting. Like, we tried to clean some up, but it was like you'd need to spend a day to get guys in there to. There was just so much garbage. Guys would dump their trash and shoot it. It was absolutely disgusting. So
That's all. I mean,
it's
and
it
that's.
sucks, and I wish that the government didn't have to just say you can't do this here anymore. But I also kind of understand why that crap happens, because people are slobs. They ruin
Yeah,
it
and
for other
that's
people.
one of the community aspects too that we would hope to see things get better. Like, we can all, and not even just us here, right? But like, as a community in general, we can all contribute to making that better by just like not being giant pieces of shit and like picking up after
Yeah.
yourself. I'm not saying, I'm not even saying you got to police all your brass or whatever, but like, yeah,
No, it's
don't,
just garbage, actual
yeah.
landfill trash. Like, come
Just
on.
like throwing out there so you have something to shoot at, and it's not even like an old, and I know it was never out there, but I'm gonna assume it was probably just the worst crap. It's not like it's, old pots and pans, which would at least make some degree of stupid sense, but
There's tannerite mixed in with it too, so we actually lit one off on accident, and we didn't even know there was tannerite buried in that shit. So we had like a target up, and all of, that's the berm is where all that crap was, so it was shitty, but like we had a target up, and then a piece of tannerite went off in the middle of it all behind our target.
That's
That was
actually
fun.
dangerous. If somebody
That's
was like,
actually, that's an IED.
yeah, I mean, if someone's practicing, like ready up drills at 5 yards or concealed drills or something at
Oh
5 yards,
God.
that's. That'd
Yeah,
be
thankfully
helpful.
we were like 50 yards away, but sheesh.
Yeah, it's problematic. So yeah, you guys did the field exercise that was out on private land. That was an overnighter. That was a good opportunity. Probably one of the only ones, if I'm thinking about this, that you guys actually we were able to get this, like touch on medical throughout the year. Was
Yeah,
that
I
training?
did a little.
Was.
I led a little medical block, basic, casualty care stuff, not like hospital medical or anything like that.
Yeah.
Tourniquets, stop the bleed, chest seals, packing, pressure bandages. The order of urgency, like return fire and gain fire superiority, fight through it before you go help your buddy, do self-aid if you can. And then I had a few pieces of old expired medical that I had opened up, so we practiced with an old tourniquet that still worked. Tourniquets are single use, by the way. If you guys are practicing with your tourniquet, don't put that back in your gear to be prepped for a real wound. If you don't practice with a tourniquet and you only have one, I would say buy another one and practice with one, and like paint it or something, put a marker so you know that's the one to practice with, but it's important.
But that means that I might have to
An old,
invest money into my medical supplies.
and technically should every few years, I'd say, kind of like carry ammo. People rotate through carry ammo. Medical has expiration dates now. It'll probably still work after it passes that. I'm sure it's more of a legal thing of when they can sell it if it expires. I
Yeah.
think most Israeli bandages are like usually around a 5 year before they expire
That
if you get
sounds
one that's
right.
brand new.
Yeah.
So will it probably still work? Yeah. So that, like, use your discretion there. But I would say for a chest seal, I wouldn't want to keep that because you want that thing to work and be sticky. Say it got cracked or something, like the actual whatever bag or case it's in when you get it, packaging. If that stuff gets compromised, then the whole thing might be dried out or something weird,
Yeah, I might
you
just
know.
put it in the training pile.
Yeah, you really want those things to work when you need them. So yeah, we did that. It was a few months in the making that John and I were planning, and before I went to Louisiana, we tried to get it finalized. That way we didn't have to scramble when I came back, because we only had a week or two before it actually happened. I didn't even unpack all my rucksack stuff. I just kind of left it as I had it in Louisiana, and you know, obviously I took my dirty socks out and all that, but you know,
Nasty
just kind of,
skivvies.
I took way more than I needed on purpose to simulate if I was going to out actually sustain for longer than a night. We worked through small unit stuff. We worked with drones. I think we debriefed this on an episode. It was a really good time, and I mean, we treated it like a class. If John and I were teaching a class, say, I'm not saying I'm the same as like Maneuver Training Solutions or, you know, any of those places that are great classes to go take this
Just
stuff,
as
but
good. Just
we
as good.
had a schedule and points, and you know, like I have a whole template that I can use on future ones now. So it's pretty cool, pretty exciting. I loved, that's one of my highlights of the year. It was a really good time. So we have more guys with night vision this time. So hopefully we can incorporate
And
more of that for the next one.
so night vision pushing into August, if I'm remembering this correctly, we actually got together at Steve's again to do night. So our friends at Custom Night Vision took care of us this year. You got upgraded. You went from a green PVS 14 to a set of green RNVGs, doing a housing swap and everything. And then I was sent a set of MH1s. So that's the new housing from Lowlight Innovations. We just had Claude on a couple of weeks ago. And that actually, I found out I had a issue with my MH1 and the power to it, with the manual gains. They still worked. It just as the gain went down, one of the tubes went out, which actually found out that there was not an assembly issue from Custom, and it was not actually a board or housing issue with Lloyd Innovations. And I found this out just a couple of weeks ago. We had thought originally it was like a blown resistor or something goofy, just like one of those one-off issues that just happens. It turns out that L3, I had some 2500 FOM, like unfilmed L3 tubes in it. They like mismatched power sources within a batch of tubes. And because of that, and how the manual gain works on housings, manual gain, and this is Claude talking, this isn't me. Manual gain was designed for the PVS 14. So the circuit for manual gain is not necessarily designed to be split to two tubes the way that we utilize it in modern, which is
I don't
why
think
you're
you've
now
ever
seeing.
explained this to me. If you have, I forgot. That's interesting.
So that's why, like, you're just now seeing the RNVG manual gain come out. You're just now seeing the DTNVS with the manual gain come out. And only a couple of the newer model night vision devices, like the 31s and stuff, have manual gain control on a binocular housing. So basically, because there's that issue with it, that's why the power sources have to match tube to tube, regardless of what the specs are. And mine had one of the bad power sources or just mismatched power sources. So found that out at Steve's while we were out shooting, that which was a really good time. Like, did some night vision stuff, let a couple guys who didn't have it kind of run with it a little bit. Had a bonfire, just hung out. I think we had a cigar or something. Like, it was a good time. And then that was like a Friday night, I want to say. That Monday, this is really good. Like, is we obviously we're thrilled that we get to work with Custom, but here's why I enjoy working with them is because as soon as I got a hold of them that Friday night, let them know what was going on with it. Cool. Talk to them Monday morning. By lunchtime Monday, here's a FedEx label. By 3:30 Monday, I was dropped off at FedEx and on its way to Lloyd Innovations in Rhode Island. Tuesday morning, I get a phone call from Claude at Lowlight. He's taking a look at it. He's pulling it apart and everything. Thursday comes up. Trevor at Custom Night Vision has my unit. He actually sent me a picture on Instagram, like it was pulled apart on his bench. Hey, we're fixing it right now. And then so Friday of that same week, by 5:15, FedEx was delivering it back to me. So a 5-day turnaround, actually a little bit less, honestly, close to like 4-day turnaround to get that corrected. So. And in time for, getting into September, like wanted to have it for the HTA range day event, but had it back in a really, really quick turnaround, was able to get that issue addressed. Really, really good set of tubes. Super, super thrilled with it. And you obviously, you haven't had any issues with yours.
Nope. So rugged. Love them. A little chonky, but by design. I've said it a couple times. My toddler picked him up and dropped him on the floor. And I was like, yeah, it's RNVGs. They're fine.
It'll probably be fine.
My helmet actually fell off my gun safe 2 days ago. Because it was my bump helmet, so the weight of the RNVGs, I moved them, but the weight of the RNVGs kind of made it tip over, and they fell, hit like nods first onto my my dresser. It's like hardwood. Yeah. Sounded horrible, but I looked. I'm like, oop, turns on. Glass is good. Cool. RNVGs. That's the thing good. I say every time something. Every time I bump over something, I'm just like, eh, RNVGs.
Yeah, I mean, the stuff from AB Night Vision is absolutely bomb-proof. Yeah, like you said, older design, but I mean, durable as all hell. In August, it's weird. You know, you still got like some summer vacation stuff, like in the mix of all of that in like July, June, July. I know I traveled for work in May, I traveled for work in June, and I traveled for work in July.
Yeah,
and
you
then I
traveled
also
a lot.
I had like a actual R&R trip the week of my birthday in the middle of July. So I was like, okay, cool.
Yep.
August, I actually almost had to travel in the first week of August. My boss took that one for me. So I was so thrilled. I'm like, thank you, God. I don't want to drive back to Indiana from Michigan for like the third time in 2 months.
July and August, I'm seeing, I started to ramp up putting time in with my GPR, with match grade ammo, and trying to learn like a little more scoped carbine stuff leading up to HTA range day. Because I was going to be taking that class out to 700 yards, and I hadn't shot that build past two. So a 1-6 Vortex Viper LPVO. I started to put more time into that and trying different loads, seeing what it liked. It only likes expensive ammo, to my disappointment. Every cheap ammo I've used, even some of the lower end 77 stuff, is just shot not good through that gun. It only likes more expensive 77 stuff. But that was a little growth for me this year, was putting time into that build. I love the build. We're gonna be doing a video on it soon, talking about that style of rifle build setup, the versatility it gives you with the pros and the cons. So it was cool leading up to HTA. Yep. That was what a lot of my album is. I did a couple range trips focusing on that build specifically.
Well, I remember it was the end of June when I was traveling for work. I was like sitting in a conference room full of people, and I'm texting my wife like to get her onto the HTA sign up site to the class that I was like, just take the 2-man CQB class. Like, so you sign up for one and that's it. You don't have to worry about it. And just do it for me. I'll take care of the rest. Like, once I'm out of work, I'll send the money for payment or whatever I got to do. and you guys are like, oh, you took CQB last year. I'm like, listen, it was one class. I could ask her to do one thing for me, and it was done. It was, and I, it's not that I don't enjoy the class. I did. It was 2-man, which is different than 4-man, obviously. So I still learned a lot, but yeah, I just remember that traveling. I'm like, God help me, please just make sure there's no issues with the sign up site or something, because I couldn't get to it on my work computer and I didn't want to ask my wife to, like, have to, video call me so I could walk through trying to sign up for it and everything.
I think I signed you up the first year.
I think you did, because I was
messaged me, please sign me up for this. This is my email.
Yeah, I remember that I was at Kohl's making an Amazon return, and they just sent out the notification. They're like, hey, by the way, sign up's open. I'm like, God damn it. Cause I think they had told us like a certain day's afternoon they would have it open. And I just happened to be out of the house when it all went on. And my local Kohl's is a complete and total dead zone for internet signal. So, cause that's what I know. Cause every time I take something back, I have to pull up the barcode on Amazon before I go in so that I have it. Cause if I'm in the building, I don't have enough signal to get it. And it's a giant pain in the ass.
Love that. Super helpful when you're trying to get a timed sign in for a class that's probably going to sell out within the hour.
Yeah. And the CQB one did sell out both times. But yeah. Okay. So that was August. And then we get into September. So September was basically, I don't know if we went to the range in September, if we had like a range trip in September proper to really
August,
speak of.
End of August, I went there with John. September 1st, we went to the range to film for my home defense video.
Oh, that's
We
right. That
shot
was my first
shotguns
time.
and
Yeah,
Ironsight
my
ARs
first.
and Ironsight pistols. We'd want The idea for that video was to strip down all the gizmos that we have on our guns. And like, I'm just thinking about if there's some guy that tells me he doesn't have anything and he's what do I need to get started? So I had
Yeah.
an Ironsight AR with a flashlight and a sling, a little Glock 19 with a TLR7. You had a TLR1 on your M&P Ironsight pistol, and then I had a shotgun that didn't have a red dot at the time. So yeah, it was just a bead sight shotgun with a little flashlight, pump. Streamlight flashlight, what is that? The TL Racker thing.
You
So that
remember
was
those?
fun. We did a little range day, and I want to say we went to the 100 yard after that too, and we did some more scope stuff because I shot my precision ammo that day. I'm pretty
I
sure.
think that that's I th that sounds correct. I know that was my first time shooting my shotgun that I've owned for damn near a decade, and I'd never shot it. So we went through some drills and did that stuff. Ran through like
That
the
was really
FBI
it.
qual.
Because 10 days later, we were on our way to Pennsylvania. That's all I have. I have that range day, and then I did a ruck with the boys. And then looking at our beautiful HTA spreadsheet that you had made for our
Oh,
schedule
dude.
planning.
I went full administrative mode and
It was
like,
very helpful, actually. I wasn't being
yeah.
smart.
So
I said it
one
helped a
of
lot.
no. I mean, one of my biggest pet peeves when we do trips in large events like this is, for whatever reasons, a lot of grown men turn into total children and have to wait to be told what to do, and it just absolutely it irks the ever-loving shit out of me. So I was like, all right, I'll just put together like a rough, 'cause, and this time we're doing it different. Last year we did that RV ride from hell, which we don't have to, rehash, but this year we were caravanning it with two vehicles. So we're like, all right, everyone's got to be on the same page. So, 'cause we wanted to meet up at one of the rest stops in Ohio on the Turnpike, which those things are awesome. They're like little like malls. There's a food court and a store and the cleanest bathrooms ever and shit. So I was like, all right, this is when we should depart, and this is when we're going to plan on meeting at this specific rest stop. Had the like address and stuff in there so that we knew where we were going, approximate time. And it was different because you just came in, you and I connected at my house, and then you drove. But we had Kyle, John, and Steve were all riding with John, and they had to connect out by where he lives, which is a little bit further away. There's some, wiggle in the scheduling. So yeah, I put that together and was like, this is when we should all hit lunch. This is when we should arrive at the Airbnb. And then, like I wanted to be pretty planned with it. So guys knew going into that weekend, like, hey, this is what you can expect. Probably not going to sleep a ton, especially after the first full day. And also we have to be up early because this is when check-in starts. And I just wanted like a centralized location. We could have all that information so guys knew when we needed to be at the range for the security brief, or sorry, the safety brief, when class time was, when you could plan for lunch, so how many, like snackies you needed to pack in your gear and everything, what we were going to have for lunch and dinner, because it was a whole ordeal, because we didn't just have the RV that we could wander back to and go get food. We actually were like 35 minutes from our Airbnb, so putting that together I thought made everything just a little bit easier. You could just send it to everybody and go, oh, what time is this happening? Like, look at the schedule. And it was all there.
Very helpful.
It worked. The cool
Especially
part
for the
was,
first day, because we had quite a few moving parts on the first day. So
yeah.
having that all, we didn't, it wasn't like you have to be here at this time. And it was just nice to have bullet points of like, what's next?
Yeah. Where we could, I mean, hey, what time do we have to be there? Like, well, we're going to expect everyone to be there around this time approximately. There was wiggle room, but like, yeah, it helped. Like Daniel didn't show up to our Airbnb till like 10 o'clock at night. Poor guy, leaving Ohio, got stuck in like monstrous traffic and
Oh,
everything.
that's
He's like,
right.
I would have been here 2 hours earlier. But
We'd already walked around with our nods and stuff. Like, where are you?
he missed dinner. He missed the nods walk. He missed. I mean, we made sure that we took the bathtub photo with him. So, first time
Scroll
actually
down to
meeting.
September on the page and look for a red photo. You'll see it.
Yeah, it was awesome. First time meeting him, I was like, did you bring your night vision?
Get in the
Cool.
bathtub.
Get in this bathroom with me. It's not weird at all. But on the way out there though, we had the opportunity. We actually did get to train through some comms work lightly at that. But it was a good opportunity, vehicle to vehicle, with just Baofengs, right? The shitty radio you're not supposed to buy that we all have and definitely were able to be capable with.
Yeah, they work. And I don't know, it's a little cringe. Yeah, I got laughed at a little bit when I brought up like, hey, let's use our radios on here. But like, I promise you'll get some good practice because you guys are gonna fuck it up, and we're gonna have lots of time for you to figure out how to do this right.
That's
And
true.
everybody made a few
So
mistakes, and we worked through it.
we also were able to kind of work on a little bit of like travel pacing and stuff and moving together, vehicle to vehicle, because then we were out of range on some stuff. And
A little bit of convoy operations. It's a thing.
I mean, is it the should it be the highest on someone's priority? Maybe not, but still take advantage of the opportunity while it's there.
Yeah. I
Hey,
mean,
do we want
if
to?
times are bad and we're trying to get to a specific area together, you want to make sure you're looking out for everybody and calling stuff out and you're close to each other in case something weird happens. It's very real world scenario stuff. And I think it's really easy to practice and I enjoy it. I think it's kind of fun.
Well, we had some issues on the way out there too, because I think John's GPS was taking us a different route and we did get
One of us
separated.
clicked. Yeah, we had the right locations in, but one of us clicked a different route than the other, and I forget what happened. I think we just followed in front. They were in front of us, so we just followed them, and it changed the route a little, like changed our ETA a little bit. Nothing horrible.
No, but I mean it gave us the opportunity to work through it.
Yeah.
It was still fun. We got to the Airbnb and we were talking about the 22s earlier. This place actually had a shooting range out back, like not a very big one, but they had actual A-zone steel and stuff out there on
Yeah.
railroad ties.
Good little
So
pistol shooting area.
yeah, I
Probably about
mean,
25 yards max or so.
I think Kyle was like, let's take the rifles out. I was like, absolutely not. We are there's
Just didn't want to
neighbors.
make a scene. Yeah, I just didn't want to make a scene, especially at an Airbnb.
Yeah, no,
Little
the
22
suppressed
pistol. I think I
22.
brought that thing for that reason because I saw the photos on the Airbnb website. So I brought the 22, kept it in the glove box with the can on it. I was like, yeah.
That
Keeps
was
quiet.
a lot of fun. I know we were going to try and check out the trails and stuff, but by the time we got to that point in the day, it was really dark. It was really late. I'm like, I don't know if we want to be out here doing this. And then we don't know what time Daniel's showing up. We did though that first night. So this is one of the things we've gotten pretty good at with some of our planning. Had a wonderful meal. Steve did a fantastic job with the steaks. John
Once
did a good.
again, home run,
Yes,
because
he's.
last year he did that lamb on a grill and it was awesome. Then he did
Yes.
steaks the next night, but then he came ready and Daniel had some good breakfast. What was it, sausage?
Yeah, so we had steaks with so Jared and Mitchell and Alex from our Ryan training group joined us for dinner that night, and they brought all the sides like potato salad, macaroni salad, I don't even remember what else. I think all I had was steak, honestly. Those things were so fucking massive. Like, and Alex was just putting it away. He's like, is there more? I'm like, if you can eat it, like, I go for it. But it took everything I had to make it through my steak. That was fun. That was a good time. Got to hear all about pest control with Jared. And then you, I, and Alex, I think, had a separate conversation around some men's health stuff, But yeah, in the morning, Daniel has a buddy at ASM, I think the company that makes like the night vision scopes or thermal hunting scopes, whatever. And they had done a promotional event where he got some wild hog, and we had that breakfast
Oh,
sausage.
yeah.
They do that. And then so Steve brought eggs from his chickens, right? And then made up some hash browns and oh, dude, that
It's like the
breakfast.
perfect meal to start that day.
Oh, I wish I would have had more, honestly, because I was so
Yeah,
hungry.
it was a long day.
And we did it smart this year because they're doing meals on site, but it was like $20 a meal. I'm like, I'm not spending another $60 for, I didn't even know what the food was, honestly. So we just did sandwich stuff, which we had done, I think, last year. We had packed sandwich, lunch meat and bread and everything. But this time we just brought it with us in a cooler. I think everybody made a sandwich, or I made two. And so this is where the packing list comes in really helpful, because some of us brought lunch boxes for the day and others of us did not. And that way we were able to take our food with us, but then we kind of reconvened at John's truck, and either he didn't seal, something had to have happened. Either he didn't seal his sandwich bag all the way or something, but like some of the ice melted and he basically had a completely drenched ham and cheese sandwich for his lunch.
Just more hydration.
Yeah, a giant pile of mush. But I was able to give him a sandwich, like pre-made. Hey man, don't worry about it. We will make more food at dinner time. Take this sandwich right now. I think him and I both brought a ton of those Haribo gummy bears. So they will throw like some of the child size pouches of gummy bears at them. Like, here, take some sugar for the afternoon, take this sandwich. And they were able to get back to it and kind of hang out, and finish day one. And then again, reconvene, make some dinner, more sandwiches, which I have never made a sandwich faster, I think, than I did for that, like at that evening. Part of it because I was just starving, but also part of it because we signed up for the night vision shoot with Blake. And that, like, I don't want to rag on the HTA guys, but at the same time, it's like, planning could have been a little bit better. We had like an hour to eat and get down to the range. So it was a little bit tight. But the night vision shoot, I'll let you talk about that. I thought it was a ton of fun. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of just re-debriefing HTA in pretty great detail like we did after the event, but lots of, I mean, we started at what was like 7 yards to 25 yards, I think we maxed out at.
Yeah, I think that's
Lots
right.
of We did some manipulations, reloads between each drill too. He had us do like tack reloads and stuff, honor nods, which was definitely what my discrepancies were with my own ability. I was like, so much time under nods, but still don't forget what to do with my hands during a reload. I always fumble reloads, especially tack reloads. Like, I'm so used to doing emergency with bolt lock and stuff, it's pretty fast, but tack reloads, trying to keep two mags and try to
What did you
side
think
to
of
side
the
or L shape.
what did you think of the format? Just because we're as a goal for like 2025, working it on trying to get a night vision shoot at our local range. What did you think of the format for what we
I thought it
did?
was great. And it was what, 120 rounds total? Wasn't a ton.
He said pack 200 rounds of rifle, which I
Was
know I
it
didn't use all that.
200? Yeah, I
I
think I
think I
shot
only
five or
used,
six mags.
yeah, I think I only used 170. I had at least one full
Was
mag
enough
left.
to heat your guns up, and like there were some suppressors that weren't, as I'll say, duty rated, some that weren't sleeved that might have heated up more. It was enough to heat your guns up enough to see if stuff was glowing under night vision, but it wasn't like a burn down either. So lots of bills, build drills, 6 round strings,
Doubles.
and then he having a backup and see if your laser first, if it was even zeroed, because there were guys that didn't have their stuff zeroed, so they were in
Oh, dude.
hurting from the start. Show up as
Yeah.
your stuff zeroed if you're going to take a class. But just seeing, like, I had a PEC 15, the Soma Gear one, so it's basically regular PEC 15, but what the hold changes as you back up and the way you're holding your weapon. Ready ups, talking about turning your laser off before you're lowering your weapon during, like, after you're
Yeah.
done shooting, so you're not shining a laser on the floor in front of you and then shutting it off. Something I never really thought about. Shoot with your laser on, hold it forward, still let go of laser, then bring your gun down. I thought it was good. It covered a good amount of time. We did pistol stuff too, which was really good.
With
Talking
white light.
about,
Yeah.
yeah, lifting up your night vision, looking under it, and then using your white light and your vis red dot like normal. And then being able to shoot with your red dot still being bright up close doesn't matter. And I was able to shoot, I think, more effectively with my through my night vision with the red dot bright versus looking under and shining a light and then shooting. It worked really well. It was fun, dude. That was, I don't know, the carbine class, the distance class was really fun, but the night vision class was up there too.
It was an
And I just love
opportunity
shooting suppressed
to
red
try a
dots. It's
bunch
just
of,
so much fun.
yeah, it was a good opportunity to try a bunch of different stuff. Like, we've never really done the white light override with night vision before, so that was good. It's just a cool experience, man. Like, the night vision class thing is so, like, it's hard to come by, you know. So for only being like
Especially in
two
our
and a
area.
half hours, yeah, it was really cool. And then, you know, obviously a couple of our guys cleaned up at the raffle, which awesome. Love to see that.
Lots of Geissele triggers.
Yeah, John cleaned up on that. I don't know by what grace of God that happened, but it was awesome. Steve won like 8 times as well. Steve won a ton of stuff. I'm trying to think. All right, so we came home from HTA. I don't think we left anything out on that trip. So, you know, Sunday's a half day. You got some pictures this time, thankfully, right? So
Got
that
to connect
was,
with some great dudes. We met Jonah finally in
yep.
person.
Got to meet Jonah from 100 Concepts. Got to meet
Great dude.
Jeremiah from Teardown. Okay, so I think that's it for September. Getting to the last portion of the year here, Q4, if you will. October was our first range day. I'm not going to call it what Barrel and Hatchet calls it because we're trying to get away from usurping there.
I just
They're
don't have a
not
better
they're
term. I don't have a better. They
not
call it
welcome.
open gym.
Yeah.
It's a. We just need to find a term for the bigger group training days. That's not just a range day because we focus
I
it
got it.
more on
So
like 20
it's a
people.
yeah, it's a large group of dudes shooting. We could call it like prepared mindset gang bang. Yeah. You like it? What do you think?
Or
I'm
maybe
gonna
just
put it on.
PMP range day. I don't know. Let's not do that.
I'm gonna put it on the
Hear
next
me out. Hear
Discord
me out.
invite.
That's a horrible
We
name.
could it on t-shirts, we could get bumper stickers, we could
Yeah.
really market the shit out of it. It would be, yeah, we could.
From the mix of the Orion class and HTA. So Rico, we met at the Orion class,
Oh, yeah,
and then
yeah, good call.
he brought a he's had a group of guys that he's been training with. To HTA range day. So immediately we met all those guys. John and I took a class with all those guys on Sunday at HTA. Wanted to get reconnected there. I think we just added them, a couple of them to the Discord. And we said, hey, we want to get these guys together, our dudes, his dudes, and maybe a couple others. I don't remember. But yeah, because Evan showed up. He went to the Orion class and then he brought Joe. That's how when we first met Joe, was that was it September? Or
October.
yep, early October. So that was our first range day there. So, I mean, we had like almost 20 people. It was awesome. And we got to sort of mold the range day around like it's going to change when there's four of you at the range for 3 hours, and then when there's 20 of you at the range for 3 hours, how do you first do it safely? How do you make sure everybody's feeling included? Make sure that your guys are getting the reps they want to get. Like I just wanted to make it. I think we you and me and John all talked about like just trying to how do we mold this, you know, and John didn't make it up for the first one. What did we do on that first range day?
We did a
We
cold
did a
start,
cold start. I don't remember
the
what the you
Diablo.
led the cold start. Oh
No,
yeah.
you
Yeah.
guys.
I think
I shot.
John led the Diablo.
I thought
Or maybe I
maybe I
did.
demoed it. I don't remember. They explained to us what it was, and
Yeah,
I might
so the
have demoed
Diablo was what we did on the Sunday class at HTA with Rico's guys. It was like a modified operator readiness drill on a
it. Yeah.
reduced A zone at 5 yards. Was it five or six rounds? Basically a build
It's
drill
six.
transition. I think it's
Six,
five, five, five. Or is it six, six,
six, six,
six? I don't
six.
know.
Diablo, dude. Mark of the Devil.
Yeah, I know.
Or Mark of the
I think
Beast.
it was
Or
just two. It was just two pistol rounds to the head or something. I don't know. It's like a shoot at the A zone rifle, transition pistol head, transition back to rifle, reload, shoot at the chest again.
yeah.
But it was a great cold start, and most of the guys had already done it, so we're like, "Hey, we're gonna do this again." Demoed it for the guys that hadn't done it yet, and had everybody rotate through that. We did some relays, is what I'll call them. It's best way
I mean,
I
that's
can
what it
say
was,
what it was.
really.
So I
Yeah.
basically like, hey, how can I set up all these dudes safely to shoot together? And I don't always love the way classes of like 10 plus people do it, where everybody shoots in a line, shoulder to shoulder, and there's like an
Yeah.
instructor standing there watching, because guys are gonna, you're not gonna get as much attention that way, in my opinion. And guys might be doing a hard, having a hard time, and the instructor might just be overwhelmed looking at everybody and might not notice something. On one dude in the middle, you know, all shooting at paper at whatever, shoulder to shoulder. So I watching Barrel and Hatchet's open gym videos, I saw the relays that they're doing, basically having everybody line up at a starting point, and all these targets around steel, so that you can see immediate, you know, get immediate feedback on whether the guys are hitting the target or not. Where if we put a cardboard target up and everybody just shot at it and ran around, we'd go and check it at the end, and you'd probably be deltas all over the place, like, ah, good job, guys. So we had steel up, shoot this, run over here, shoot it again, run forward, use your pistol. We did 50 yards rifle, and then they ran up. The pistol shots were done at 25, which is demands some fundamentals. It's also a little safer shooting at steel, and it gives that little delay that we like to hear when you shoot steel. If you're closer than 25 with a pistol, I feel like there's pretty much no reason to be shooting steel. You can see your hits on paper inside of 25, and you'll actually get better feedback and data on whether you're missing or not. Whereas if I'm hitting steel inside at like 15 and in, I'm shooting steel. One, it's super loud and it's close to you, so it could be dangerous. And then you don't know if you're really hitting the edge or the middle, you know? So 25 was good. And we just rotated guys through. So as everybody went, everybody's entertained because you're watching the next guy go. You're cheering each other on, talking a little bit of shit here and there.
That doesn't sound like
And
me. I wouldn't do that.
I got shit talked. The second one, when we added some physical aspects, we carried a 40 pound sandbag between each rep. to each station. I told, like, demoed. I was demoing it, explaining, "Hey, we're gonna take this sandbag." And then when I shot first, I just took off running, and I forgot the sandbag, so everybody gave me shit. Then every time I ran to the next spot, everybody would yell, "Sandbag!
Don't forget your bag." You know?
So, but yeah, immediate feedback. Guys can see it. It's fun shooting steel with a pistol, a rifle, and a pistol. You're running around. Your heart rate's going up. That's what that was. And I think we just did a couple different stages. The first one, that was pretty much all I had planned. But then the second one, the next month, I had like five different stages planned of different physical attributes and then different drills. Like I had people drop to the prone and shoot, get up and run. We did kneeling shots. We had a lat. John brought his ladder out. So we did varying shooting positions, standing, kneeling, and prone behind a ladder. It's great, dude. I love them. I love it so much. That's, I know I keep saying every other thing we talk about was my highlight of the year, but it just kept getting better after September. For me, I just enjoyed so much of it. So I know I was long winded, but that pretty much sums up what those meetups, range days. I want to say open gym because it's so easy, but it's not really our term.
I mean, the first two, definitely. And I think we kind of learned as a group from those first two, and there was a third one, but from the first two, like where we can grow physically, but then also just the understanding. So basic stuff like optic zero, how impactful that can be.
A lot of guys don't have access to 50-yard bays to zero their stuff. So we had dudes show up that had a Hasty, I'll say zero, done inside of an indoor range, which usually maxes out at 25. So they're hitting high at 50. That is, if their stuff was even zeroed well, probably not, because I like to zero on the prone. So those guys are probably standing or like kneeling in front
of saw in indoor December, range. We saw in December the impact of not wanting to zero in the prone position or a supported position. Guys,
you just got to do it. I always try to like do what's comfortable for you, but I get the best results prone. But like after this last big meetup, pretty much mandatory. Because guys like to try to use tripods and stuff. And it's just, there's more room for error. You're not going to be as consistent.
Yeah. So. I mean, if you want to shoot with a tripod, that's fine. But if you're zeroing, I don't see the
value.
You
want to eliminate as many negative factors as you can while still maintaining 100%. Your natural shooting. Whereas I would say negative factors, that might sound like you want to lock the gun into a vise and then shoot it off of that. But no, you still want to hold your gun and look through the optic the way you look through it. But just as much negative movement and input as you can try to eliminate. And I have a short dropping soon. It might be this week or next week. I don't remember where I talked through zeroing with the guys, and I did it without a bag or a bipod or anything. I just laid my mag on the ground. And as long as you get that foundation good, you don't need much. And that's why I did that. Cause that gun has a little bipod mount. I could have done it with a bipod, but then some dude's going to say that I shot good cause I used a bipod. So I just wanted to eliminate and not use anything to show that you guys don't need to buy crazy things to be proficient and get good zeros on your guns.
And we're also able to help some guys understand for their own uses down the line in other sessions and things, how to read some of those zeroing targets. Like we use the TRX Arms ones just because we're familiar with them. This is what this means. Hey, look at your turret or whatever. It literally says, one MOE, two clicks or four clicks, and help explain, okay, so you're hitting here, you want to be here, so if you count the lines, you got four lines, so that's eight clicks or something, right? To the mm-hmm. right and then down, stuff like that, because I think we had some people that just weren't familiar with the zeroing process, or at the very least weren't confident with it. I know that's something we talked about when you first started here on the pod and everything. Like I hated zeroing optics because I was just so unfamiliar with it, you know what I mean? So it was a good learning opportunity for a lot of guys. We also did some standards drills later in the day, which some guys were like, yeah, this is the worst. It was what, like 27, 28 degrees out. And it's like, this is terrible for standards. But I would say, whatever benchmark you set in that kind of weather and those, austere conditions, like, okay, then you'll definitely be able to do that. Or if not better when you're warmer.
It's only going to get easier.
Yeah. So it was interesting. To see how guys did with it. A lot of guys did really well in a lot of aspects. Definitely highlighted, what we knew kind of watching some of the other range sessions was we mentioned it earlier, right? Transitions, administrative tasks like reloads and everything were the Achilles heel. So hey, it not a bad thing. Definitely not a negative. Just now you know what you can spend your winter dry firing to address. So
And we were able to pull a spreadsheet off of those standards, and I was able to see who, like, I got everybody's scorecard at the end, and I was able to write down who passed and failed what, and I could see as a group what the group was lacking in. And a lot of it was in those manipulations and transitions, where guys were pretty hot with their ready ups, but once you do a high ready, it kind of fell apart. And then once we're doing a pistol transition, some of the wheels really fell off. So it's just cool. We don't do that to try to dig down on dudes. Like, it's you, some guys did really well, and some guys need more time. And I was able to see the whole group and get an average for how the whole group was doing. So guys that did shit hot, instead of being like, "I'm good, don't need to train anymore, like everybody else just needs to catch up and get on my level." No, those guys can look at how can I help the rest of the group get to that passing level, and that we can get this total score up to like an 80%, something like that. It's exciting, and I have it now to keep tabs on as the next few times we do it. It'll be cool to see guys get better.
Hopefully in hopefully March or something, where it gets
Yeah, I
back up
think
to that, like,
springtime. We could do like a quarterly or something
yeah, just to, and
like that.
they're not hard. We stole it from the GBRS video on standards. Like,
Literally stole it.
yeah,
I mean, we
literally
didn't
just
change them
wrote
at
it
all.
down. Which we didn't even read. I think one of them, we were doing it a low ready, and it was like, I think like four guys went like, "This says high ready." Like, well, I guess we're
Oops.
doing low ready now. So we'll amend it going forward. It's not that big a deal, but it was cool just to kind of get everybody to measure everyone against the same grade, see where guys kind of fell into things, which is cool. Not that we're ever measuring, up to each other. But it is just one of those things, like you said, you get some data, guys can help each other grow, which is really what we want to do.
It's sharing instead of teaching, like you said in a recent post. I
I
love
mean,
that.
I don't ever, I don't ever want to be out there with dudes, like, thinking that I'm trying to be an instructor necessarily, but just
Right.
want to, share what we've learned and help guys get better if they want to. And that's certainly been something we've been dealing with. That I would say that's probably one of those like adjacent growth points for us, is how we're able to help build and shape this group of people that we've I don't know, assembled, put together. Some guys, hey, maybe this isn't the right fit for you. A lot of guys, it's, hey, you've been looking for something like this. Here you go. Let's do the thing. A lot of good connections. 2024 has been a great year for meeting people for the first time that maybe we've, connected with online, training opportunities. You said Rico and his guys, Gonzo and his knowledge and stuff that he was able to bring out a couple times. So it's been a good year for community building, which has always been one of our larger goals. And looking into 2025, I think that's only going to continue, with everything we have planned and what we're looking forward to for next year. So without getting into that, did we miss anything? I don't think we missed anything.
We did a 600 yard range day after it was
Oh,
between
that's
two of
right.
the open gyms. So our range puts on once a month precision rifle events that shoot out to 615 615 yards. So hopefully doing that again in January. So going to get some more content doing that. I'm using that same GPR that I took that class with, and I'm loving it. I'm going to It's going to be a while before I change anything on that gun, at least like optics wise. I'm really going to use that scope to its full capacity before I feel like upgrading it.
Yeah, I'm gonna try and
They
make it out to
work.
that one. I'd like to
I'd like
try for
I'd
that.
like to get something like John Scott, the Night Force, like Christmas Tree Radicals, still in an LPVO format, are awesome. The basic crosshair that we're you and I are using on those Vortex Viper 1-6s, they work.
Works.
Just got to learn the dope for them, and the simplicity in the second focal plane sometimes is nice because you don't got to think about it too hard, especially inside of 300 yards. Just send it, and the reticle's easy to see because it doesn't get smaller or bigger. So it's good
Consistent.
stuff. That's about it. I mean, we had some open gyms, and it's pretty much where I tapped out.
Yeah, no, I
So
think we'll
all
be,
we got so far. Lots of
more of the
content.
same.
Trying to pump out a lot of YouTube stuff by the end of the year to try to get the up to 1,000 subscribers before the year's over was sort of a goal that we set, and we're inside of 900 now. So I'm trying to
Super
pump some more
exciting.
stuff out before the next couple of days to see if we can get it going. But it's exciting to see everything grow, man. It's gonna be a good year.
Yep, 2025 will be good, and I think we're not gonna get into goals for next year. That'll be a different discussion, but lots to look forward to, certainly, and definitely happy with everything that that 2024 brought for us. To summarize, guys, 2024 was a tremendously successful year for us. If you saw some of our posts and stories and things, you know, the numbers and whatnot, maybe not reflecting the growth that I feel that we experienced here as a team, and also, you know, greater than that as a community. If you guys are listening on whatever platform, you know, please take a second, hit that like button, subscribe or follow us on the various platforms. It helps us a ton, especially, and you guys probably, if you're listening to this, know that anybody, any entity right in the social media space right now that is attached to firearms is being like very aggressively suppressed. And that, I think, really hit us hard this year. We had a couple of milestones on social media. We broke 5,000 followers this year. We broke 3,000 subscribers over the course of, you know, the first half of 2024 for our podcast subscribership and things like that, which don't seem like high numbers, but they are for us. And the problem is that when you break some of those benchmarks, the algorithms start working against you in different ways. And we really felt the pressure. We really felt the squeeze this year. I can tell you, looking at some of the, just the number of plays and things that we've had, 2024 was a much more difficult year for us to gain exposure and traction. I don't feel that we've had a change, you know, in our quality of our content. You know, we're working to bring the same good messages with really great guests and things as we have in the last, you know, 3 years, 4 years, whatever it was. It's just been more difficult. People are, I guess, in this country making moves to restrict access to this kind of information, to really, it suppresses the word. I don't know if there's a better phrase for it than that. Really, is just suppress what folks like us are trying to do, trying to help folks like you. And that's something that we're not going to give up on. It's something we're obviously very passionate about, and it is one of our great goals, is to continue that fight. And maybe we'll see things different. You know, we have stuff that went on through 2024, obviously a presidential election. We have a new president coming within the next month. He's going to be sworn into office. We've already seen some drastic changes across the globe, in our economy, in the overall, I would say, temperature of the political landscape here in the United States. So things are going to be different in 2025, I think, for the better. That's my personal belief. I think a lot of things have already happened in that realm, you know. So we're really looking forward to what we can bring to the table for you all, for our audience in 2025, whether that's, you know, more content, additional content, better content, right? Video on YouTube. We have our Patreon, the Instagram, you know, all that stuff. It's all part of our overall goal to do more for you guys. So thank you so much, if you guys are listening to this, for sticking with us through the year or longer, if you've been listening since the beginning. I know there's a few of you guys out there that found us back in 2020 and were willing to give us the time of day to, you know, to just, I don't know, help us grow, really. It means the whole world. And if you guys are out there, you're listening to this and you want to shoot us a message, just let us know, hey, been listening since the beginning, and, you know, whatever your thoughts or feelings are on what we're doing. Love those messages. I get them periodically, and it's always really, really cool to find new folks that have been listening for a year or 2 years or 4 years that have been there to see this grow and transform into something that was, it's completely different from what we were in 2020 when we started. The staffing's a little bit different, obviously. The mission is the same, and that's just to share our learning experience with all of you guys, and to bring as much helpful information forward and have as many meaningful discussions that are going to be beneficial, if not entertaining, right, to all of you. So hope that continues to be the case. Again, reach out to us if there's anything you guys want to share. But until 2025, everybody, you stay safe out there. Enjoy the New Year's festivities. And like we always say here, work hard, train smarter, and be prepared.